Thank you. That's good. That's good. A lot of things happening. Things are good. Amen? God is good. And all the time? Amen. Amen. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads here and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for all that you're doing, and we thank you for what you're doing in our lives and around us, in our community, in our church. We thank you, Father. It's that we come before you with thanksgiving and just praise you and glorify you and worship you and all your goodness. And Father, we thank you for the word, your word that reigns true in our lives. And we come before you and we just praise you and thank you for your word that it comes into our ears and comes into our spirit and comes into our mind, that we may use it and utilize it to change our life and to change how we live and how we walk, how we talk, and how we just live outside these walls. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Where do we start? The word. How many of you play sports or have played sports or played some kind of recreational activity before against an opponent? Like against some opponent coming after you? Yeah? At some point in time, whether it was kickball in your free time, whether it was you played sports in high school or college or whatever. Yeah? Anybody not? You watch it before on TV? Yeah? Or live? Yeah? Okay. Then we know something about athletics. And if you know me, I'm at the high school and I'm the athletic trainer and I deal with the medical stuff with athletes and I teach a sports medicine class and I just deal with athletics all the time. Athletes, athletes, athletes. So a lot of what I talk about here is related to sports and related to what Paul said about athletes, you know, train your body like an athlete. And so if you've played athletics before or some type of performance and some type of competition, you know that you have to prepare for your competition. And sometimes, if we relate this to football, for example, a team will prepare the week before or a few weeks before, and they'll watch film on their opposing team, and they'll find out their tendencies, and they'll find out their what kind of plays they might run, or what kind of defense they might have, and in order to manipulate that so that they can run a correct offense to score, right, to win the game ultimately, yes. And so, any good team prepares. Any not so good team, you could probably look at their preparation. It's probably not as good as the winning team. Not in most cases, not in some cases, but in most cases. There's always that outlier, you know. And so in many cases, they look at scouting reports and reports about the other team, the other offense or other defense, and they look to see what kind of things they have to change, what kind of offense they have to run and whatnot. And our football team does it all the time, and I get sent the game films and things like that so I can review them, so I can look at the medical side of things. So if somebody gets hurt, I can go through and look at, what actually happened and see what goes on there. And that's cool. But from this report, they size up their opponent. And they look at the size of the players. They look at the types of plays. They look at the types of players, the tendencies, the patterns, the athletes, who's the best athlete on the team, you know, who's not so good, and who's out there, who can catch, who can't catch, you know, things like that. Who fumbles a lot, you know. Basketball, baseball, they do the same thing. They look at the opponents. They look for any advantage that they can find, and because they want to go at that. And if they can find that advantage, then they exploit that advantage. They take advantage of that. That's why they're doing that. And they use that to advantage because it can lead to success. And the reason why I say all of that is because I want us to look at a story in the book of Numbers. If we turn to Numbers chapter 13 in your Bible, and I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's not very long. And I'll read fast. as fast as the computer can go. And, well, let's just read it. And verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So if we stop right there, I want to show you something, that God gave them something already. They gave them a land. Yes, he gave them a promise. It's already there. It's a provision. It's already given to you. They only have to go get it. It's already theirs. You see, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. They didn't do anything for it. God just gave it to them. It said, verse 3, then, so Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Now these names were, I'm going to skip through all of that. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 16. And it names all the men. You can read all those men. These are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Joshua. In verse 17 it says, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. And he said to them, go up this way and into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or like strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, and be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land, now that the time was the season for the first ripe grapes. So if we stop there, the story goes like this. Moses sent these spies out to scout, right, beforehand. And so we were talking about athletics and football. Usually they send a scout person to go film the team the week before or weeks before. And so they come back with that film to know what's going on, right? So Moses sent out the scouts and he needed them to come back with some information. Okay? Because why? Because God promised them the land. God promised them the win. God promised them the game is already won. You see, the land was already theirs. They just had to go and get it. We talk about it a lot. I talked about it weeks ago when we talked about a gift from somebody. Somebody who gives you something, it's already yours. You just got to receive it. We talk about that with salvation. Salvation is already given to you. You just have to open the door, grab the package, and rock and roll. So the land that was given to Israel was already given to them. They just had to go into the land and take it. So if we read on, it says, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob and near the entrance of Hamath. And they went through the south and came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, and the descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt, and then they came to a valley of Eshel, and there cut down a branch and one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshkol because the clusters which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying on the land after 40 days. Verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back the word. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So here's their scouting report. Right, here's their scouting report. Here's what the land is. Here's what's going on. Here's some fruit from the land. Here's what's happening, right? It says that they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So there's people there, right? There's things that are inhabiting
my land.
Right? Here. You can do it better than me. There was the land was promised to them. So it's their land and there's people there. How many of you own a house? Yeah. Okay, you leave for a weekend and you come back and there's people living there. Right? I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So then what do we do? What are we going to do? Well, they got to take the land. The land that was promised to them, they're going to defend their land. Right? And so then in verse 30 it says, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. So they're talking. And Caleb had to quiet them. So what are they talking about? They're probably talking about the scouting report. What does the scouting report say? Well, if we go back up, it says, hey, there's people there, and they're strong, and their cities are, they have walls, and they're descendants of Anak. And who's Anak? And that's supposedly an ancestor of Goliath, giants. In some verses, it says that the giants inhabit the place. And Caleb had to quiet the people. I can only imagine what they were saying. You hear some athletes when we talk about some football teams, for example. Oh, that guy's big. Oh, that guy's huge. Oh, that guy can run fast. Oh, that guy can throw the ball. That guy, oh, man, he's going to run me over. So what are they doing? They're thinking about all of the challenges, all of the things that are trying to come against them, right, before they even go, right? They're already putting themselves down and down and down and down before they even get there,
yeah.
Right? They've already lost because they've already said it. You see, when you're an athlete and when you participate in competition, when you already say, "Oh, this guy's too big," you already lost. You see, and so Caleb had to quiet that. You know, I can only imagine. You know, a million people, and Caleb has to quiet them. A million people. That's a million different opinions, a million different talking. You know, a million different things. And Caleb has to say, hey, be quiet. Let us, it says then here in the second part of verse 30, it says, let us go up at once and take possession. So that means that he heard people saying, oh, the giants are too big. Oh, they're too strong. Oh, the cities are too fortified. Oh, there's too many of them. Oh, like we can't do it. We're only Israelites, blah, blah. Oh, what are you? I can already hear it. And we do that to ourselves. Sometimes, when we know what we're supposed to do, we're like, oh, you know what, I don't know. Oh, I'm scared. Well, you're already defeated. You already lost. Because you told yourself you can't do it. You see? But Caleb says, no, shh. Quiet your thinking. Let us go up at once, take possession. For we are well able to overcome it. See, now, if we keep going, it says this. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against those people, for they are stronger than we. It says, and then they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the land whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Verse 33 there says, there we saw giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. We were like grasshoppers. I saw a grasshopper yesterday at our new property, and it was like this big. And I can just imagine what that's thinking about me. All right? I would be like a giant to that grasshopper. I mean, to me, it looks like a giant grasshopper, right? It's like, it was like, I kid you not, it was like this. How many of you have seen them before?
Yeah.
They're like, they were like this big, you know? Nina just grabs those things. She's tougher than me. But anyway, it's like this big, right? And so, In our mind, in their thinking, they thought, it's over already. I'm like a grasshopper to these giants. It's over. That's stinking thinking, people.
Yeah.
That is stinking thinking. Why? God already promised you the land. You know, God already said, hey, it's yours. Just go take it. Caleb's trying to tell him, hey, shh, quiet your mind, quiet. Don't worry about this stuff. It's already taken care of. Yeah. You see, that's it's provided. That's provision. It's already there for you. Just go get it. That's what Caleb's telling him. Let's just go. We're well apt to overcome. Yeah. You see? So the question I have asked you from this scripture is that, what do you see when you look at yourself? Do you see a grasshopper? Do you see that yourself a grasshopper like the children of Israel? Are you that grasshopper? Or are you like David, a giant slayer? Which one are you? When a giant, and I'm speaking metaphorically, when a giant comes in your doorway, are you a grasshopper or are you a giant slayer? Are you like these children of Israel or are you like Caleb? Say, no, hey, shh. Quiet your thinking. It's already given to you. Take it. It's already there for you. Take it. Your view of yourself has huge bearing on your faith and the outcome of your life. I'm not going to say that if you claim it that you're going to have it, because I'm not talking that God is not a genie. But if he gave it to you, you can claim it. If he provided it for you, you can claim it. If it's in God's word, you can claim that as your own. You see, God already gave the children of Israel the land of Canaan. So all they have to do is take it. But what got in their mind? The bad report. The bad report got in their way of remembering that God already gave them the land. How many of us in here have gotten a bad report before? Yeah. And it got in your way of doing what you were supposed to be doing. Because, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I can't believe this would happen. Some of us go on the end and say, I can't believe God would do this to me. Stinking thinking. If we stay in our Bibles, let's go to, let's try Deuteronomy chapter 1. Everybody say amen when you get to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I apologize, I did not get my scriptures into our system, and so if you don't have a Bible, I apologize, you're just going to have to listen, don't fall asleep. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, I want to read verse 28, it says, where can we go up? Our brethren have, it's talking about a similar situation. Where can we go? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts. Our brothers have discouraged us. The people are greater and taller than we, and the cities are great and fortified up in heavens. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. That means the descendants of the giants. So it's talking about the same situation where they're going to go in, but people are talking negatively. People are looking at the situation from the wrong point of view. From the wrong perspective. Anybody ever used binoculars before? You look in one end and it's real close, look in the other end and it's really far away. Right? Well, which end are you using? Right? What's the perspective that we're looking at? God already has given you salvation. God has already given you healing. God has already given you the things that you need in your life. He's your provider. Therefore, let him provide. Walk it out straight. Don't let your brethren discourage you when you know what is already provided for you. Don't let somebody come into your house and start talking bad about things that you already know are going to happen in your house. Don't let somebody come in and start talking to you negatively about something that they don't know nothing about. All they may have, I read it on WebMD. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you don't know nothing about nothing. God already gave me my healing. God already gave me my fortune. I don't need you to tell me anything. Amen. And I say that because I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, I want to read verse 7, and I want to focus on the first part. Because in the story we read in Numbers and the story we read in Deuteronomy says this, they thought, therefore they were. Well, Proverbs says this, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Proverbs 23:7, in the first part it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so he is. So the Israelites thought they were grasshoppers, and guess what they became? Grasshoppers. Caleb thought he was a giant slayer, so what did he become? A giant slayer. David thought he was a giant slayer, and what did he do? He slayed a giant. Are you a grasshopper? Or are you a giant slayer? There's a story I read a while ago, and it fits, and I wanted to read it to you. It's a story of an old woman who was married to a sailor. And the sailor never returned from one of his journeys. And in sorrow and in sadness, she put up a picture of a sailboat, right? And she vowed that her children would never become sailors. Well, years go by, and they become sailors. Why? Well, they kept looking at that pretty boat on the wall, and they wanted to become sailors. So even if the reason why is that it was made available, and so they thought about it, and so they became, and she had no real power over that. You see what I mean? So what you think of yourself is what you become. How you feel in your heart is how you're going to play out your life. Every day of their lives, they saw a beautiful picture of a ship. If every day of your life you saw a beautiful picture of a car, you might someday want to buy that car. You know what I mean? What do you see? What you see is sometimes and most times what you become. Yep. The way you see yourself also determines the way the enemy sees you. You want to be a grasshopper? There's things that eat grasshoppers. Right? If you're a giant to that grasshopper, the grasshopper is scared of you because you're going to step on the grasshopper. Well, if giants come in your life, are you going to be the grasshopper so the giant can step on you? Or are you going to be the giant slayer like David? In 1 Samuel 17, verse 24 and verse 25, it says, all men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him in great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Everybody in Israel in David's situation saw a giant. And so what did everybody do? They were scared. Nobody wanted to go out and face the giant. David saw an opportunity. An opportunity for what? An opportunity to step out and take what was his. David saw an opportunity, and I'm finding out in my life that opportunities are usually hidden behind giants. you see a giant in your life, I'm learning. I'm only 37. I'm sure people who are older than me understand, but I'm learning that not to be afraid of things that are in your way and giants in your way, because there's usually a better opportunity after that. But you have to get through and get over and get under and get around that giant that's in front of you first. But if I have a mentality of a grasshopper, I'm going to run away. But if I have the mentality of a giant slayer, I'm going to slay that giant and then find my opportunity. Where are you? Don't fear the giant. Slay the giant. Amen? Your confidence is in who? The Lord. Your strength comes from? You were created in whose image? What do you see? What do you see? Victory or defeat? Do you see yourself as a grasshopper or a giant slayer? Some scriptures in the Bible call them naysayers, doubters, people who are negative. Anybody know anybody like that? Nobody here. Naysayers, the characteristic of a naysayer. So this is what I think. The characteristic of a grasshopper goes like this. They have a lot of doubt in their life. A lot of doubt. They begin with doubt. And so 12 spies go into the land of Canaan. 10 come back with doubt. And they spill that doubt out to the Israelite camp. Two of which then have no doubts. And so these two are trying to convince the other million people not to doubt what God has already given. These other 10 spies will be called naysayers, doubters. Naysayers doubt themselves. Naysayers doubt one another. And worst of all, I think naysayers doubt God. They're just doubters. And if we listen to these naysayers, we become infected with their doubt. You know, I used to hear one rotten apple spoils a bunch. The word says bad company corrupts a good heart, or something around there. I'm paraphrasing. I probably messed it up, but something like that. So your company could spoil what's good on the inside of you. You hang out with people who are not so good, well, and then you would say, well, why am I getting into this stuff? Well, it's probably because you're hanging out with the wrong people. That's what the Bible says happens. That's why it says surround yourself with righteous people. Naysayers have tunnel vision. They only see what's in front of them. They only see what's going on right here. But like I said before, what we don't understand is that there's opportunity after that. Slay the giant, go into the promised land. Slay the giants, go into the promised land. Slay the giants, receive your blessing. Slay the giants, receive your healing. Sometimes in our healing, it's doubt. Oh, I don't know if I can be healed. I don't know. I just don't know. Well, there's your giant. That's your giant. It's you're doubting the power of God in your life. Well, I just don't know. I'm not sure I can do this job. I'm not sure I can be the person that I'm supposed to be. You're doubting your ability. And you are made in the image of God with all the strength and all the power, and everything you need comes from Him. Something that I've learned from naysayers in my life is that those who doubt pout, and then live without. If you doubt it, you're never going to get it. If you doubt the power of God in your life, you're never going to receive what he's already given to you. If somebody wants to give you a gift and say, hey, I got something for you, and you're like, no, you don't. I have something for you. No, you're kidding. You're never going to get it. I really have something for you. No. You couldn't have something for me. I'm such a broken person. Do you doubt God that much that you're going to tell him what he can and cannot give you? Are you going to focus on that we sin in order not to receive the blessing from God? Are you going to focus that you're a sinner and always say, well, I'm a sinner, God. I know I'm a sinner. 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 Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be a sinner. Right? If you keep telling yourself you're a grasshopper, you're going to become a grasshopper. If you keep telling yourself that you're a sinner, you're going to be a sinner. And I understand we all sin. I understand that. But you're not a sinner. You feel me? You get me? You understand me? What I'm saying? If you want to tackle the biggest things in your life that God has given to you and that God has put in your path, then you have to become a giant slayer and stop being a grasshopper. You have to overcome instead of always being the victim. You have to walk in the shoes that God gave you and step on the grasshoppers. That's something that we have to understand. You're not a grasshopper. You're a giant slayer. Giant slayers believe. Giant slayers achieve. And giant slayers receive. Let's just think for a second if David didn't slay the giant and walk into the provision that he was given by God. Hard to say what would happen. Somebody else might have stepped up and did what he was supposed to do. Or something worse could have happened. You could play that anyway, but Joshua and Caleb received their portion of the promise. Joshua and Caleb, they walked on the ground. You see, the doubters, the naysayers, the children of Israel, they couldn't get into the promised land. Why? Because they doubted the power of God. Joshua and Caleb did not doubt. Joshua and Caleb, they wanted to go in and take the land and possess what was theirs because they knew it was given to them and it was theirs. And so they were able to walk on the land. They were able to build on that land. They were able to live on that land. They were able to utilize what was given to them. Amen? You got to be a giant slayer and utilize what was given to you in your life. You got to understand and believe and receive. Like I said before, I'm not a name it, claim it kind of person. Because some things I don't think of you, I mean, I could name $1 million. Maybe that's not in the ballpark right now. I'm praying that it might be. But when you see it in the Word and it's for you, claim it. Receive it. Believe that it's for you. When you understand that God has a promise for your life, claim it. Receive it. Believe it. Believe that it's for you. So then you have to ask yourself, then do you believe? Or are you a naysayer? If you can believe, then with God, all things are possible. Amen? You can believe, you can achieve, and you can receive all that God has in store. Amen? Does that mean you're going to be rich with money, money, money? No. Not if that's not what God has planned for you. Does it mean you're not going to be rich? No. Whatever God's will is. But you will never lack. Because God said you will never lack. You don't have to be sick. Because God said you don't have to be sick. You don't. Amen. The word says if you abide in him, his word abides in you. You can ask and you can receive. Are you a giant slayer? Or are you a grasshopper? Maybe God is calling you to kill some giants in your life. I think it's safe to say that many of us have giants in our lives. Well, what are you waiting for?
Take them down.
You have the Almighty God on your side. Take those giants down. Depression. It's a giant. Take it down. I like the word sometimes, well, all the time I like the word, but it talks about certain things, and then when you look at it compared to the power of God that just comes through, it's like nothing when you compare it to the power of God. But we look at it like we're looking through glasses of a grasshopper. Everything is so big, so huge, that if we just took our grasshopper goggles off, we would see, oh, yeah, you're right. God can do it all. Right? It's like those fancy mirrors that when you look at it, it makes you look tall. I'll say tall. I won't say anything else. All right? But what's your perspective? You know, what are you looking at? Are you looking at your problems? Are you looking at your issues? Or are you looking at what God has already told you that you have? You know, giants of depression, giants of lust, giants of fear, giants that are standing on your promise. You see, those giants that were in the land of Canaan were standing on their promise. Get off my promise. That's all you got to say. Get off my promise. I'm taking my promise. Amen? Today needs to be the day that you believe, that you achieve, and that you receive. Today needs to be the day that you stop running from that fake roar of the enemy. What does the word say? Resist the devil and he will flee. Today, people of God, you need to stand how David stood. In faith, and watch those giants fall. In faith, and watch all that stuff fall. Don't doubt. Don't get your eyes off the prize. Stand. And when you've done all to stand, stand again. And again, and again, and again. Because God's calling you to kill those giants in your life. God doesn't want you depressed. God doesn't want you down. God doesn't want you sad. Because when people look at you and you're depressed, they get depressed. I get depressed just saying the word. It bothers me. You're not depressed. You're not lacking joy. You're full of joy. You're not
in dis. You're full of peace. You're full of joy. Right? You're not what they say you are. You're not what the naysayers say you are. You are what God says you are. You are what God says you are. You have what God says you have. You will do what God says you will do. Amen. 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 Today, I encourage you, stand as David stood. Today, I encourage you to break down those giants. Get out your sword. Get out your sling. Break down those giants. We sing a song sometimes called, what's it called? Oh, you are an army, right? You're an army dressed for battle. And there's a part in there that says, we cut off the giant's head. We eat giants for our bread. Yeah. I love that line. Because it's so true. Now, I mean, we're not actually going to eat them. Come on now, right? That's weird. But really, we do. We chop off the giant's head. We eat them up. You know, we get them going. If you've been to a football game this year, our defense they go like this. When they're doing well, they run off to the sideline and they do this. What does that mean? We're eating them up. We're destroying them. We're getting them. They ain't doing nothing to us. That's what that means, right? We need to be doing that. We see depression, I eat them up. We see lust, nah, I ain't going to do it. I see temptation, I ain't going to do it. I see what the devil, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to eat you up. Amen. Amen, let's stand up. Amen. You know, like I said, maybe God has something going on in your life. Maybe there's something going on in your life that is in the way. It's a big wall. Well, God is telling you, hey, eat it up. Break it down. Get it going. You are overcomers. You are victorious. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to spend in your word. We thank you for your word. Lord, sometimes I think your word is there so it reminds us of who we are. Lord, I thank you for that remembrance. God, you are calling us to kill those giants so we can move forward into the path, into the position that you have given for us, that you have put there for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like you to just repeat after me a little bit here. Say, I was made for a purpose. I was made for a purpose to kill giants. Amen? Say, I was made for a purpose. I was made to slay the giant. I was made to slay giants. People, there's nothing out there that can bring you down unless you let it bring you down. There's nothing out there that can get in your way unless you let it stay there. You have to step into who you are, step into the power that you have, and break down those walls, kill the giants, and move forward. That's what you're called to do. Oh, well, my job, they don't let me read the word. Read the word. They don't let me pray for people. Pray for them. That's a wall. That's a giant in your way. Slay the giant. You know, I prayed a lot, and we prayed a lot that the school would have some type of Christian influence. And Manita and I would pray, and our youth group would pray for a long time. And guess what happened? The giant was slayed, and now we have that presence there. You see? The giant wanted to get in the way and say, no, you can't do that in schools. And we said, yes, we can. You see? The devil goes around roaring like a lion, but he ain't no lion. You know who the real lion is? Jesus. We sang that song, Lion of Judah. Lion of Judah. He is the lion, and he is going around devouring the wannabe lion. Guess who's on the inside? Jesus. He's on the inside of you. So guess who has the lion? You do. You do. Say, I got the lion. I got the lion. Say, I got the lion. You got the lion, brother. You got the lion. And what do lions do? Lions roar. And lions instill fear into their enemy. That's who we got. That's who you got. You got that lion on the inside to break down all the walls. Say, I got the lion. Say, I got the lion. You got the lion. It don't matter who's coming after you. It don't matter what's going on in your life. You got the lion. You got the lion on the inside, people. Utilize that lion in your daily life. If it's bad thoughts, use the lion. Roar at those thoughts. People, we got to step into who we are. We got to step in. I think I haven't been around.